Begin the current Daf, Masechtas Bechoris Daf Nunalf. Begin 12 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which ended off, which actually the top of this Amud finished off that theme. Now we said that, although we spoke about certain things that require the Mana Tzuri, Kesef Shkalim, however, we ended off the Mishnah by saying that everything could be Nifta, Bekesef, or Beshava Kesef, anything that needs redemption, as we had the text of that Rashi put on the Tapas Amit, whatever needs to be redeemed, doesn't have to be exactly that the currency itself. It can be that value too, except for the halacha of the Shkalim, and the Braisa brought a few other things, Maestro Sheni, Haro'ayin, where there needs actual currency. And that our Mishnah continues on that theme. It says, although we said that you could redeem with anything worth money, however, there are a few exceptions. Ein Poydin, you cannot redeem the firstborn son, Leibav Vadim, not with the slave. Come to the Kohen with a slave worth 5 slum, you can't use that. V'leibishtaris, neither with documents, meaning if, let's say, the father of the firstborn son has a document that someone else owes him 5 slum, and he's going to give it to the Kohen, that debt, which he's giving now for the redemption of his firstborn son, his son's not going to be redeemed. V'leibikarkais, he cannot give the Kohen a piece of land worth 5 slum. V'leibikdashis, and neither could he give him something of hektish, which Gemara is going to explain what does that mean. A person doesn't own hektish anyway. But that's the simple translation that he can't give him a piece of hektish worth 5 slum to redeem his firstborn son. Now, continues the Mishnah, related to the Salach of Shtaris, Kasev l'kayin shu chayiv litin chamisha slum. If the father writes to the kayin an IOU of that he owes him 5 slum because of redeeming of his firstborn son, so says the Mishnah, Chayv Litnoi, because of the IOU, he has to give him 5 slum. But his son is not redeemed with those 5 slum that he gave him an IOU for, meaning that showing, writing a document that he owes him 5 slum. Now, therefore, since, I think I'm going to explain why that is, because we're concerned that if we allow this IOU, even if he ultimately gives the money, people are going to get confused and think that one could actually redeem one's firstborn son with shtaris, which we just said before, that that's not a valid way of redeeming the firstborn son. So lefikach, therefore says the Mishnah, since we said that he has to give him 5 other slum besides the 5 slum that he's giving because of the document, so in sum total he's going to be giving him 10 slum, 5 for the IOU and 5 for the pinya ben, so imratza koin litin, so if the koin wants to go give it back, loy b'matana, to give gift it back, because ultimately he's really giving him more than what he has to, he's giving him double, so therefore the koin's allowed to, but if not for the koin, out of the kindness of his heart, deciding to give back 5, then there's no other way to rectify the situation for the father, where he already made himself obligated to give 5, and then besides that he has to give the 5 of the pinyan ben. Now, the Mishnah says, ha-mafresh pidyon b'noy v'ovet. If the father separated monies, 5 slum for the redemption of his son, and then those monies got lost. Says the Mishnah, Chayav Bachar Yusei is obligated in its responsibility and its insurance. He has to again then take out another 5 slum until he gets to the hand of the kain. Because like the Pasig says in Bamidbar, it says, Yiyeloch. This Pasig, the Torah, Hashem is talking to Aaron regarding the common gifts and says, will be for you, Ufadei Tifta, and the son, the firstborn, will be redeemed, which is telling us when will it be a redemption. When it gets to your hands, then the son's redeemed. But until it gets to the hands of the kohen, the son's not considered redeemed, and therefore the father is responsible until the kohen actually gets the money. Now the Gemara says that regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah, that masnit delek Rebbe. Our Mishnah is not like Rebbe, because the Tanya Linda Brice Rebbe, I mean, he says, "Bakol poydin b'charot." He says you could redeem the firstborn son with anything that's worth 5 slum. Chutz m'nashtars. He gives only one exception, that of a document. Says the Gemara, my time of the Rebbe, what's the reason of Rebbe? Because Darish Ribuye Umeute, he expounds these psukim that talk about the halacha penya ben in the context known as Ribuye Umeute, which are inclusionary terminologies and exclusionary terminologies. As the pasuk says in Bamidbar, it says, Ufiduyev mi ben chaydish tifte, that the redemption of the firstborn son is from when he's 1 month and older. Now that's a rebuy, that's an inclusionary terminology. It sounds like you could redeem the son with anything. Now, when it says be'erkecha kesef chamesha shkalim, that in your value of 5 silver shkalim, that's what you do to redeem the son, that's miut. That's an exclusionary terminology. That's saying only silver coins and nothing else. But then when it says tifte, that to redeem, where it says the word tifte, well, that's riba. That's inclusionary terminology, saying, okay, you can redeem with what anything. Riba umiut v'riba. So you have what's known as inclusionary, exclusionary, and inclusionary. Then your riba kol. Then you're including really everything, because you're starting with a ribuy, ending with a ribuy. So my Rabbi, what are you including? Rabbi Kalmili. So you include everything. Anything worth the value, you go ahead and redeem the firstborn son. So my Miyad, but there is still a Miyad there, which is excluding just one thing that's the most unlike anything else, which is, my Miyad is Miyad Shtaris, excluding documents because that's not worth anything. It's just a sign, a simon, that this person has a right somewhere else, and therefore that's the most unlike anything that's worth anything, and therefore that's excluded. But everything else, that the Tanna Kama, that the Tanna of Mishnah said regarding Karak and all those other things, Rebbe holds that you can use to redeem the firstborn son. Whereas Rabbanon, the Rabbanon of our Mishnah, Darshi Klalu Prat, which is the same words, the same context, the same idea, but they expound it in a different way, which is expounding it what's called general and specific, which is coming on the same format, but with a different definition. It says in the Pasuk, V'du Yivmi Ben Chodesh, it says that redemption from the firstborn son, that's a klal, that's a general concept. When it says Be'erkecha Kesef Chamesh Shkalim, that's a prat. This, when the value of the five silver shkalim, that's specifying. Tifte chazav akal, when it says redeeming, that goes back and again a general statement. Now, as Rashi points out, although actually here padai tifte, the tifte is actually written before the prat, the specific of kesef, which it's not a klal prat a klal, it's really klal and prat. Even so, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, we could still expound it as the Rabbanan do in klal prat a klal. So you have a klal prat a klal. General, specific, and a general. Iatadon el kena prat. Then you only qualify it that something that's similar to the specific, which tells us ma prat mefurish. Just like that which is specific here, that it tells us what is the pinya ben done with. Is kesef, is silver coins, dava hamatalta begufei mamon. It has to be similar. What's the characteristics of it? It's something that's movable, and it has intrinsic value. I've called dava hamatalta begufei mamon, also all things which are movable, and its essence is worth money. Yatsu karkoi shemetatlin, so that excludes land which is not movable. Yatsu avadim shukshla karkoi, that excludes slaves which are compared in the pasuk in Mayukha Chavevis Nachalta Maisam. It used the terminology of inheritance, which is the terminology used by land, which is something that's always a nachla. Slaves are compared to that. So if karka is excluded, so too evet is excluded. And yatsu shtaris, and we also exclude documents. Shavah bishem etalim, even though it's movable, in gufa mamon, it doesn't have intrinsic value, so it has to have both characteristics, and therefore the Tana of our Mishnah excludes these three, not just stars. Now, however, on this interpretation, Amalei Ravina Lemeremer says, "V'Rebbe Ribuye Umeuti Darsh." That really so the way we were explaining why Rebbe disagrees and the only excludes stars, because he expounds the Torah into what's called inclusionary and exclusionary. But V'Rebbe Klali Prati Darsh B'Martei, we find in the context of the Eved Ivri who wants to stay past the obligated 6 years that he's supposed to be there. So it says that if he wants to stay till the Yevil year, they make a hole in his ear by the door, and they make it with a Martei, with an awl. Now, we find over there that he expounds that parsha not in Ribri and Miut, but rather in Klal Prat. Talking like Linda Bryce. Pasuk says Martei, they use it in awl. It's a type of an instrument. Ainly Ilamarteas, it says the Bryce, I would only know you can use all. Minayin Lerabis Hasoil, how do you know that you could use a splinter of a Hasira or a thorn of a Machar or a needle of a Makdeach, the auger, another type of instrument or tool? Vahamachtiv, or this is a metal pen, that's called a stylus. How do you know you could use all these things too? Tamalem of Lakach, the Pas says, and you shall take, which is Lerabis called Dabash and Lokachbiyat, anything that you could take by hand that is included in that, so it could be a splinter, it could be anything that can make a hole in the by the ear of the Eved Ivri. That's the Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yemi disagrees, says no, it says in the Pasuk, Marzea, an awl. Ma Marzea miyuchad shal matechas, just like the awl is distinct that it's made out of metal, of kol shal matechas, so anything, the tool that you want to use, also has to be made out of metal, which excludes a splinter and all these other things. Now, Varmina, we said Masech Tzkidushin of Chafalv Meralav, but my Kamifri, what is the fundamental principle that they're disagreeing about? So it's because Rebbe Darish Klali Prati. Rebbe expounds the pasuk over there in a general and specific, where Velakachta is a general idea, take, which is a klal. When it says Marzea, the all, that's a prat, that's a specific. When it says Venasat Ba'azna, you'll put in the ear, that's again a klal, which is a klal prat a klal. So we say, just like the specific is distinct that's made out of metal, it has to be also Keina prat, also anything else that's also made out of metal. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, who he includes even more things, even things that are not made out of metal, Darish, Ribuyi, Umayuta, he expounds it in a inclusionary and exclusionary. So what do you include when you have a Ribuy, Mit, Ribuy? You include everything. What are you excluding? You exclude only if there's something that's the most unlike, which is not even a tool, which is just some, which is some type of a potion, some type of a balm that could go ahead and make a hole in the ear. So we see that Rebbe expounds in Klal Prata Klal, not Rebbe Mute Rebu, but we were explaining that the reason why he is including most things besides Shtaris is because he expounds in Rebbe Mute Rebu. Says Gemara in yes. Ba'alma Rebbe Klali Prati Darsh. You're right. In general, as we brought from this Braisa Bamartzea, he usually expounds the Torah in Klal Prat. But Vahach over here, the reason why, as we explained in our context of Pinya Ben, that he expounds the Parasha in Rebbe Imeute is Kedatani Rebbe Shmal. Because the Tanya of the Rebbe Shmuel was taught in the Braisa Shiri Rebbe Shmuel, it's brought in the Endom's Perikula Trefens, Chulndaf Pezayin Menalf, that wherever it says, B'mayim B'mayim Shtei Pa'amim. In other words, wherever you have two klolas, two general klolim, one near the other, and you have the prat, the specific, after the two klolim, like over here in the context that the Tanya Rebbe Shmuel is talking about regarding the two signs of a kosher fish. It says in the Pasuk, Ezeh toichlu mikol hasher b'mayim, this is what you should eat, whatever is in the waters. Asher leisnapeh v'kaskes b'mayim, whatever has scales and fins in the water. So that's two klolas. Where it sounds like that in any body of water, you need to have snapeh v'kaskes. But then it says the prat, the specific afterwards, when it says, b'yamah u'bin nechalim, it says in the seas and in the streams, which sounds like only in yam nechalim, which those waters are flowing waters, that's where you need to have for a kosher fish the signs of snapeh v'kaskeses. But the type of fish that grow, the aquatic creatures that grow in still waters, that they can be eaten even without scales and fins. Now, says the Tanya Rebbe Shmuel, in the klal prat, meaning we're not going to qualify that halacha in the klal prat. Ella rather, we're going to go ahead and yes, put the specific between those two categories, and we're going to qualify it as riba umiyut, as a inclusionary and exclusionary, because it, you don't really have a klal prat to klal. But it's ribuim and miutim, so that's how we'll expand it. It's as a ribuim, miut, and ribuim, and then we're going to be including more things, and we're only going to be excluding that which is very unlike, but not as in a keina prat. So here also, Rebbe says the same idea, where it says, that's a klal, but then it says tifta, which is also a klal. And you have the two klal near each other, and you have the prat of kesef only after the two klolim, therefore you're not going to expound it in klal prat to klal, even though generally it does, and rather we're going to expound it in the riba mut and ribui, and therefore, he said, yeah, we're going to include everything, and we're only going to excluding shtaris, but avadim and karkaris are included. But Rabbanan, who they expound even over here in klal prat, I mean, they would tell you, because I mean, remember, Rava, like you say in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, that no, even when you find two klolim, one near each other, and the prat is only after the two klolim, hetel prat by name, you put the specific between them, v'dun mechlal prat, and you could expand it in klal prat, not like the Tanya Rebbe Shmuel. And even over here, like in our Mishnah, they expanded in klal prat the klal, which it has to be ke'ina prat, which is davar matal de b'guf v'mamon, thus excluding not just tarish, but also avadim and karkos. Now the Mishnah said, v'loy bekdashis, which the simple translation sounded like, you cannot redeem the firstborn son with hektish worth 5 slum. Now, as we already alluded to, the Gemara asks Peshitta, it's obvious, Lavdi Deininu, it's not his, it's hektish, it's owned by Hashem. Of course you can't use it to redeem the firstborn son by giving it to the kite. So Emma says, the Gemara, rather, as a contentment base, what the Mishnah was saying was, v'loy hektishis, and also hektish cannot be redeemed, b'chalelu, with all these things that we said, that Pinya Ben cannot be done with, which is with Avadim, Shtaris, and Karkais. And there, in Teres Kainim, in the Parasha Erechin, they expound from Sukkim to show that just like we're saying that Avodim Shtaris Kukars don't work, but Pinya Ben, they also don't work regarding the redemption of Hektish. The Mishnah said, Kasav L'Kayin Shu Chayv L'Chamish Islam. If a father of the firstborn son writes to the Kayin on a piece of paper, on a document, that he owes him 5 Islam, so the Mishnah said, Chayv L'Itin Lay B'Chulu, so he has to give him 5 Islam, and besides that, his son's not redeemed, he has to give him another 5 Islam, in total 10 Islam. We said, if the kain wants to, he can give it back to him as a gift, but he has to give him 10. Now, Amma Uli qualifies his teaching. He says, Dvat Taira b'nai padir l'kashiyin. According to biblical law, the son is redeemed when he gives him 5 slum. Now, so my time aim b'nai padir. So why are we saying in the Mishnah that his son is not redeemed with those 5 slum and he has to give him another 5 slum? It's a gezerah, because it's really a rabbinic decree. Shema yem repaydin b'shtar. That maybe people are going to see that, hey, we see him, he gave him a document, and he only pays him up what the obligation of the document is, but it seems like that the actual redemption was with the document, if he's only giving him 5 slum. And then people are going to come confused and say, oh, you can redeem with documents even if he's not giving him any money. Just the document itself is, it has that fulfillment. Or one might think that you could use, as the halacha of the previous halacha of the Mishnah, that he has an IOU that someone else owes him, he could just give that and forward that to the kohen, and that would fulfill the obligation, which biblically that does not. So then rabbinically they said, even in this situation, when he's going to give him the 5 slum, which biblically should work, not going to work, so we don't want people to think it should work, and he has to give him, on top of that, another 5 slum. Now the Gemara tells that Tani Tanik Hamidra of Nachman, the teacher of Bryce, is taught in front of Nachman the following Bryce. That Benai Padre Likashi know that the son is redeemed when he gives him the 5 slum, because ultimately he gave the redemption of the 5 slum. To which Amalei Rav Nachman, he says, Zu divi Rav Yesi Rav Yehuda Stimta. That's the opinion, this brisa of Rav Yesi, the son of Rav Yehuda, who is the anonymous Tana said in often places. Vamilon, some say, Zu divi Rav Lazar Rav Shimon Stimta. But he says, as we say in our Mishnah, but the sages say, no, Ein Benai Padre, the son is not redeemed. And says the Gemara B'Hilchasa Im B'nei Padre, the halacha is the son is not redeemed because of this Gezeirah D'Rabbanan, and he has to give him another 5 slum on top of that. Now the Mishnah said, as we said, Lafikach, therefore, since he's giving really double, and Ratz HaKohen Litnah B'Matan, if the Kohen wants to give him back 5 slum as a gift, Rishai, he's allowed to. Now says the Gemara, Tanin L'Had D'Rabbanan, this supports what we learned in the Braisa, that the Kohen is allowed to give the 5 slum of the Pinya Ben back to the father. The Braisa says the following halachas. Nasnu L'Asar Kahan B'Vasa Achas. If the father of the firstborn son gave to 10 kahanim in one shot, meaning he put the 5 slum in front of 10 kahanim and he left, so Yahtzeis fulfilled his obligation because ultimately he gave it, they could figure out what to do, but he gave to the kahanim 5 slum. Bezechazeh, if let's say to one kohen he gives it, doesn't give him one shot, he gives him one sela, another sela, another sela, so they're also Yahtzeis fulfilled his obligation. Not law in this halacha we want to bring, if the kohen takes the 5 slum, the chazirah, and he gives it back to the father, yatze is fulfilled his obligation, which is again, that's supported from the halacha of our Mishnah, which we see that the kohen could give it back. And says, the breis of a kacha imen hagish of Reb Tarfon, this actually was the custom of Reb Tarfon, who was a kohen, shayinayt lamachzer, he would take the 5 slum from the father, and he would give it back. Okay, so shama chacham b'davar amr, when the sages heard what he did, they said, this one, Reb Tarfon, is fulfilling this halacha that we said, that one the kohen is allowed to give back the 5 slum to the father of the firstborn son. Now the Gemara asked on the wording, halacha zu b'sulai, what only this halacha Reb Tarfon fulfilled and nothing else? Ela rather, no, the wording is, ki imze af halacha zu, that this person, Reb Tarfon, fulfilled even this halacha of giving back the 5 slum to the father of the firstborn. Now the Gemara tells the Reb Chanina, who is a kohen, have a ragel b'shokel mahadu. That's what was his custom. He would take the 5 slum and he would give it back. Now, one time, Chazilahu Gavri, he saw the certain man, the father of the firstborn son, that had given him the 5 slum of Pinya Ben, that he was walking back and forth in front of Reb Chanina, so that he should see him walk in front of him, that he should be able to give him back the 5 slum that he gave him for the Pinya Ben, that he gave him just a few minutes ago. So Amalei, so Reb Chanina said to the father of the firstborn son, Loi gamrit v'yahavis. You weren't conclusively giving me a full bona fide gift of 5 slum. It was just that you were waiting for me to give it back to you. Mi dam bish. What you did was a bad thing. Hilkach ein b'nai padri. Therefore, your son is not redeemed if I give you back the monies, because you weren't really giving it to me. You were giving it to me waiting for me to give it back to you. Or another interpretation is, even if I don't give you back the monies, even then your son's not redeemed because you never gave it to me with the intention of giving it, and therefore you have not fulfilled your obligation. Again, it's just when he gives it, you know, wholeheartedly, and then the kohen gives it back, that's allowed to be done in halacha. Now the Mishnah said, Hamafish pidyon b'nei v'avad, if someone separates the 5 slum to the redemption of his son, and it gets lost before he gets the chance to give it to the kohen, so Chaim Bachur usually he's responsible for that insurance, and he has to go ahead and separate another 5 slum to give it to the kohen. Says the Gemara Menala, where do we know that the father's Chaim Bachur Yusai? Now, even though the Mishnah itself brought a pasuk, which the Gemara is going to shortly explain, and ask from my papa, still the Gemara is asking this question, where do we know this from? So I'm Reb Shimon ben Lakish, it says, Asi Erich Erich mi Erichim. We learn out where it says over here in the context of Bechair the word Erich, and by Erich and throughout the parasha it says Erich. We hear by Bechair and by Midbar Yitches, it says, Fedu yiv mi ben chedish tifte be'erkecha. So we learn of him Erichim, just like be'erichim. The one who takes the Erich vow is chayiv in the achrayis until the monies come to the hands of the treasurer of Hekdish. As the Gemara says in the last parak in Masech Tzchulin Daf Kof Lamtasim and Aleph, that v'nasatas erkecha b'yemahu, it says in v'yukach abzayin, that you should give your erich vow on that day, which is telling us that it's considered chulin until you actually give it to the hands of the treasurer. So too over here, we find by the laws of Pinya Ben, which also says Erkecha, that the fulfillment is only when you actually give it to the hands of the kain. Or another interpretation, another source of Dimi Amar Bienis, and he says, the Pasuk says in Shemais, V'chol b'chor b'necha tifta, that all the firstborns of your sons you should redeem, v'lo yiroi panai rekim, you shouldn't see my face, says Hashem, empty. Now, v'yolof rekim rekim mo'ilis ri'ya, here that it says the terminology rekim by Pinya Ben, and it says the terminology of rekim, don't see my face empty, by Oilis Re'iyah, which is the obligation through by the Sholosh Rogalim, by the three pilgrimages, that they have to see Hashem and be seen with the Karban Oilam. And that says over there the word Rekam. So we learn out, Ma Oilis Re'iyah Chai Bach Re'yusa, just like by the Oilis Re'iyah, that there's a liability because it's a bona fide obligation to bring the Oilis Re'iyah, which is no less than any neder, any vow that a person takes. What the halacha is, if it dies or it gets stolen, the person who took the vow to bring the Karban is Chai in the Achrayas. And it's something that's a yoke that he has to fulfill until it's actually done. And actually, an additional point is the pasuk says in Shemayis Chav Gimel Lo Yiroa Pene Rekim. Hashem says, "Don't see my face empty-handed on the yomtiv. If it gets stolen, if it gets lost, if it dies, and he doesn't fulfill his obligation, so obviously it comes out that he's coming to the Azar empty-handed. So either way, obviously that there's a responsibility." Now Rashi points out one thing, is that why we have to learn that Rekim Rekim from the Eilis Re'iyah. It says in this pasuk itself, that we're quoting by the Pinya Ben, the Loi Roi Panei Rekim itself, here in this pasuk itself, and you see you can't come empty-handed, you have to actually come. Says Rashi, we wouldn't have known them from this pasuk itself, because that doesn't literally mean to say seeing Hashem's face, because the Pinya Ben has no obligation to bring it to the Azara, to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, because it's actually given to the Kayan. And therefore, I would have thought that it would be enough by just separating it. You don't have to actually give it to the hands of the Kayan. But since we're learning out Rekim Rekim from the Oilis Re'iyah, just to go over there, Yechayv and Achrayis of Pinya Ben Chay Bechur Yusuf. So to by the redemption of the firstborn son, one is responsible in the liability until it actually comes to the hands of the Kayan. Now, Maskelor, Papa asks, as we already alluded to, that Kra, we need to bring a pasuk to support likra to a pasuk. The Tanya of the Mishnah already brought a pasuk for the source of this halacha of Chay Bechrayis by Pinya Ben. Why are we bringing two Amarok interpretations for the psukim that bring the source for this halacha? So Elamar Amar Papa, rather, he says, no, you're right. Ha kedik tani time. The halacha of a Mishnah is like the Mishnah itself gave the reasoning. Yilach ach podei tifta. It says in the Mishnah that when it comes to you, the hands of the kain, then it's going to be considered redeemed, which tells us the halach of Chiv Achrayis by the Pinya Ben. V'chiyit madu Rish Lakish, and when did we have this teaching of Rish Lakish? Our Reisha. And I was going on the Reisha, meaning the earlier Mishnah, which is considered the Reisha of these Mishnais, on the Mem Testament house. The Mishnah said, Meis Lachash Leishim Yoim, if the firstborn son died after 30 days old. So the Mishnah said, Afa Pisha Loi Nasan, even though the father didn't give yet, Yitin he still has to give it, because the son lived over 30 days. On that, the question is, Minolam, where do we know that the father has to redeem his son even after he's dead? Of Adam, Rishim Lakish, that's what Rishim Shimalakish was coming to say. Asi Erich, Erich, me Erichin. That we learn out the terminology where it says by Erichin, Erichin, here by Pinya Ben it says Erich. Where the Gemara in Erichin of Chof, Amanav tells us, if someone says, Erich Yolai, my Erich value, as the Torah describes what it is upon me and I have to give it. And then that person dies. So the halacha is that the inheritors have to give that Erich vow to the Beis HaMikdash. Or let's say if someone says, that person's Erich is on me, and that person dies, the one who took the vow still has to give that Erich value to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara in Erichin and Terzkan Munza from Pasuk, where as it's described, it says over there, you would think if someone says, I want to give that person's Erich value, and that person dies, you would think it would be exempt. That's what it says, Tamalemi Yarichenu, he has to give the Erich vow even if that person's dead. Oh, so that's what we learned also over here. When the son dies after 30 days, the father was already obligated in the redemption even after the son's dead. He still has to give it. And that's what we said. Rav Dima Amar Bienison, he gives a different source. It says in the Pasuk, V'chol b'char b'necha tifta, that every of your firstborn son you should redeem, below your rub, upon a rekam, don't see my face empty. So we learn out, regarding where it says, rekam rekam from Oilis Re'iyah, Mala halan just like over there by Oilis Re'iyah. Yershin Chayovin, which is the halacha when the person dies, that the inheritors are obligated, and the reason why the inheritors are obligated is because the Oilas Re'iyah is the Oilas Chayv, is an obligatory carbon oila. So here too, when the son dies after 30 days, the father was already obligated in that redemption, and since it's an Oilas Chayv, the Mishnah tells us, let's say, when a woman brings her carbon chatzis and she dies, and she didn't get a chance to bring her carbon oila, her inheritors have to bring her carbon oila. So Afkan, so to over here, after the father dies and the son dies, where they're already obligated, and then they died, then Yershon Chayavin, the inheritors are obligated, and therefore the sources they were bringing was regarding a different halacha, that even after the death, that there's still an obligation on the inheritors in that estate to bring that Karban Eilas Chayva, which in this context is the same thing regarding the Pinya Ben, that after the son dies, and even after the father dies, the Yarshin, the one they inherit that estate, have the obligation, because once it started, that obligation is still there. But again, it wasn't teaching regarding the Chayis itself, it was teaching there these two Amaram regarding the Halacha of the Yarshin Chayavin, of even after the death, but once the obligation was there, there's an obligation to fulfill that.